Let's turn to the Gospel tonight, Gospel of Luke 17, the verses 11 through 19. This morning, I was glad to join Hillcrest CRC as they installed a new pastor. Installed is such a, that's what you do with a door or a window. They joined themselves to a new pastor, Kurt Walters. And what a wonderful pickup for our classes, and there's high levels of enthusiasm in our sister congregation at Hillcrest, and I'm excited about Kurt being in this classes. I think he's going to bring a lot. He and I serve on the Calvin Seminary board together, and he's a solid guy, so it'll be a good addition for our classes. Luke 17, 11 through 19 is our text. This is one of those stories in the Gospels that is unique to Luke. No other Gospel writer tells the story. And you and I should always wonder when that happens and wonder to ourselves, now I wonder why this particular story is important to this Gospel writer. How does this pick up on themes that the Gospel writer might talk about? In this particular story, it's a story about lepers, and I don't know a ton about leprosy other than it's a skin disease and it's not something you die from, but in the Old Testament, especially if you read Leviticus 13 and 14, there are some strict rules around how to deal with leprosy. These are folks who are put outside the community, but maybe not forever, but until a priest declares them clean. And when you're in that state with this disease, you're not only put outside the camp, but you have to cry out. You have to announce through a PA system that you're unclean, And according to the Torah, it's the priests who don't heal you, but they're the ones who must declare you clean. So the priests are the ones who guard the holy checkpoints in the community, and they were the sort of gatekeepers, the ones who would say, you're ready or you're not. And we're going to read the story about 10 lepers who are healed by Jesus and see some of the parallels in the Old Testament and the New. And to think about now, why would Pastor Luke tell this story, and what does it have to do with us in community as well as to us individually who want to relate and connect to Jesus and be healed from what ails us? Before we read tonight, let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather around your word tonight. And we thank you for these ancient stories that have been written down throughout the ages, that your church has treasured as gospel. Stories that have shaped some of us from our childhood. Stories that even in their familiarity continue to speak because we are different and your spirit is working. And our stories are still being written. So tonight, as we read, as we speak, as we listen, and as we seek to live faithfully, we pray that the same spirit that inspired these words and protected their being passed down would be at work in us tonight and in the days ahead, that your word might be alive and growing inside of us as well. So soften our hearts, open our ears, tender us, we pray, that we might hear and see and experience and practice the gospel. We pray it in your Son's name and for the sake of your kingdom. Amen. Now you know that Samaritans were despised. And Tom Long, the great Presbyterian preacher, says anytime a preacher says the word Samaria or Samaritans, he should go because Samaritans were despised. So think about that as we hear this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled around the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Not unclean, unclean," but they cried out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And Luke adds, "And he was a Samaritan." Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Not long ago, I made a hospital call, and there was a laminated sign that was on the door that sounded an orange alert of sorts that warned visitors that they needed to protect themselves. The sign on the door said, "You need to gown up, you need to put on rubber gloves, you need to put on a gown," and I always have to go to the bottom drawer, which is the extra large gowns. "And you need to protect yourself. You need to put a barrier around yourself because if you enter into this room, you risk infection." And some of you know this firsthand. Outside some rooms is a cart with masks and gloves and gowns. And therefore, people, therefore visitors, and for nurses and for medical folk, in order to protect them, to make sure that they stay healthy and not sick. This afternoon, I spoke to this patient through a mask. I touched her with gloves, and not thinking my hospital gown covered my clip-on ID badge that says clergy. I briefly removed my mask to show who I was, and she said, "Everyone who comes in here is dressed like you are." I spoke with her, I touched her, I prayed with my mask on. I didn't dare take it off because I was fearful, and afterward I regretted it a bit. And in the days that followed, I reflected on this experience, and I found myself wondering not what was this like for me, but what was this like for her? What's it like to be approached that way, as if you are a disease? What's it like to be approached as if the only way to approach you is to have a barrier on? This patient was identified at that time by her disease. She's healthy now. But I can't help but wonder what it was like for her to be treated like this, even for a time. If you and I read Leviticus 13 and 14, we'll see a large text available for us about these kinds of boundaries. And it's not from the perspective of those who are diseased, but it's from the perspective of how do we deal with these kinds of people? If growing into health, diseased people must show themselves to the priests. Otherwise, you have to live in isolation. You have to be away from people. 13 verse 45 says, "You must live outside the village or the town with unkept hair, masked, torn clothes, and you must yell out, 'Unclean, unclean,' to make sure that everyone else is safe." And the only way out of this is to call not a doctor, but to call the priest. And the priest is the final purity inspector for you. So if you think you're on the road to health, call the priest or text him. And he is the local customs inspector, and he has the power to bring you back into community or back into the real world, but it's up to him. This is the world that Jesus is entering into when he comes into this border territory. So when Luke says that Jesus was on the border, he's walking a fine line. If you're a devout Jew, you're saying, Jesus, you're walking a fine line. The statement of Jesus walking between Galilee and Samaria is not so much about geography, but it's more about recognizing the distinctions between who's in and who's out, and are you a faithful Jew? Because the teaching was, keep your distance, whether you're a faithful Jew or whether you're sick. That's what the heart of the matter is. This is the message sent to children. Keep your distance from certain kinds of people. And this is why the lepers called out from a distance to Jesus, crying out, not unclean, but Master, have pity on us. Tonight I'd like to have you imagine that boundary place where Jesus probably shouldn't have been, between Galilee and Samaria. This is the place where the devout Jews would avoid. They would do what they were told to do from their childhood, keep your distance. And the sickly, whether they were Jewish or Samaritan, that's where they were. It doesn't matter your ethnic background. It doesn't matter your wealth or your age. Disease is indiscriminate. We're all going to get sick. We're all going to need intervention. We're all going to die. But in this leper place, this was the place where the sick gathered, and it was the place where the healthy, physically, spiritually, socially, all stayed away from. Where they were. But the text says this is also where Jesus was. I don't know if you noticed, but I think this is an odd miracle. Jesus doesn't touch them. He doesn't mix up dirt with spit. He doesn't lay his hands on them. He doesn't let them touch the hem of his garment. He doesn't even speak fancy Aramaic words. He just sends them to the priests. How interesting it is that one man who may have wanted to keep his distance from Jesus to keep the law comes back and he falls at Jesus' feet. He never even makes it to the priest. He doesn't do as he's told, but instead he thanks and praises God because he never wants to distance again himself again from the one who has made him well. And in the gospel, this is salvation. In the gospel, on that day, 10 lepers were cured, but only one found salvation. 10 were declared clean and restored to society, but only one was said to have faith, and it was a Samaritan of all people. 10 were told to go back to Jerusalem and claim their free gift, but only one came back to give himself to the giver. In a sloppy and uncomfortable show of emotion. And Luke adds, in case we missed it, this guy is a double loser because he's a Samaritan. He's got 2 strikes against him. He's sick, and he's one of those people. What's the point of this story? Some pastors, when they're desperate for a Thanksgiving text, have used this. We probably shouldn't, but some of us do. As if this is an important text on saying thank you that speaks of how desperate some of us have been at Thanksgiving time. I'm not sure that this text is about that. That seems a little thin. Others find it to be like a parable with multiple meanings, and some others wonder if it has political implications because Luke is saying something about Samaritans and the early church. Some of us have the echoing voice of a grandmother who says it's always important to write thank yous. But to a faithful and obedient early Jewish Christian audience, this story is more than about a thank you. It's more than about a miracle. It's more than about the boundary lines of good breeding. This is the story of what it means to intersect in those uncomfortable places. For all of us who are not first century Jews, this is good news because it speaks of the gospel coming to us. We who weren't in the in crowd, and we are welcome. We have a place at the table. We who were on the outside. If we count ourselves as religious insiders, and many of us probably do, this is a reminder that faith is more than just obedience. Maybe those other nine felt entitled because of their heritage. Something in this story that's compelling. Why would Jesus send a Samaritan to the temple priests anyway? He wouldn't be welcome there. You know he wouldn't be accepted. They would be revolted by him. Maybe he made it to the priest, maybe he didn't, but I want to suggest that tonight that Pastor Luke, who's writing these Jesus stories to an emerging church, is probably well aware of how this would be heard. The healing that comes through Christ, and Christ alone is a free gift, is not something to be taken lightly. It's not something to be assumed based on the fact that you've always been an insider. An outsider in this text has more of an opportunity for a sense of gratitude than ungrateful insiders that some of us might find ourselves identifying with. This reading suggests that the Christian community may have more in play than just salvation issues. Community can be formed by the healing spirit of Christ, but human barriers of race and ethnicity and other barriers we make can be much deeper and pervasive than something like leprosy that devours the body. The Samaritan we know well is not welcome in the temple. He may not even be welcome with the fellow people who were healed. Isn't that sometimes the case in church life? Have you ever known someone who has come out as an alcoholic, or a smoker, or a divorced person, or someone who has had children before marriage, or people who are being treated for HIV or AIDS, may find a healing, a serum, or a cure of sorts? But sometimes in Christian community, they have a hard time finding a place of belonging. God seems to be able to forgive and forget these things, but sometimes we don't. All of those places where we might feel self-conscious or ashamed or feeling like we wear a scarlet letter might make it very difficult for us to find a place of belonging. And I wonder if Luke and the Spirit gave us this story as a gift so that you and I would chew on and linger for a bit about this Christ who goes outside the city into the places he probably shouldn't to take on himself the uncleanness of the world. The very one who becomes the temple for those people who have no temple. And Christ does this miracle of healing and saving, but the church must still wrestle harder with how to live as generously as the healer. Maybe this is why Paul continually speaks to the early church about saying, the barriers have been broken down in Christ. Don't keep putting new ones up. So tonight, I don't know about you, but I think I'm like those other nine lepers who find it tempting to follow the rules in ways that my obedience can louse up my gratitude, where my sense of older brother obedience becomes the barrier because it becomes the focal point, even keeping the Savior and certainly other people at a safe distance. Somehow this tenth leper, and maybe we should call him the first one, has found the true temple. But he's also found joy. So in Luke's gospel, maybe this is the faith that is the size of a mustard seed that Jesus speaks about earlier that can do great things. Maybe this is what he means in the following verses about the kingdom being inside you. Maybe this story is for us so that we see in that lowly, lousy, unhealthy leper something of a model of faith, so that the Christian community looks at itself and others with a whole new set of gospel-shaped eyes. And maybe we do that is upon meeting Jesus, we become all the more aware of unclean, unclean. Master, have mercy on us. And maybe that's what the call of the gospel in following Jesus is all about anyway. The one who comes to us in the place where he doesn't belong in order that we might be made those who belong. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we put up barriers, O God, to keep others out, to keep a sense of safety. Safety for us, safety for those we love. And then we see Jesus coming and walking along the border in Galilee and Samaria. So, Master, have mercy on us. Help us to see you. Help us to see others. Help us to love with your kind of love. Find salvation. And point others in the direction of your voice and your footsteps. Help us to live with that kind of faith today, tomorrow, and the days ahead. Guide our steps and our hearts, we pray, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.